Good morning. 9 years. It has absolutely flown by. You know, that first Sunday, we met in the pavilion, and there were maybe 60 people here. A lot of those people are still here, which is great. This building that we're in now was still a barn. About a year after the church started in 2016, we started renovating this to convert it to this space. And before we poured the concrete slab, we did something, and I want to share it with you today because most of you have probably not heard this. Before we poured this concrete slab, a few of us came out, and right here, we buried a Bible under the floor. Right there is a Bible. And the reason we did it was we had a pastor at the time who said, I don't want to symbolically stand on God's word. He said, I want to literally stand on God's word. When I stand before his people, I want to literally stand on his word. So, Dallas, I can't remember if I ever told you that, but there's a Bible right here. So when you're up here, you're standing on God's word. Yeah. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is truth. We should be encouraged and hopeful.
Amazing. Thank you, Dan. Morning. Morning. Hey, I have to say before we get started, Dan, who just read the scriptures for us, I do want to say thank you sincerely, because at Grace Meadows Church, we could not do what we do without the generosity of Dan and Tammy Eldridge to let us meet here on their property the way that we do. So, Dan, thank you so much for that. Absolutely. Also wanted to say really three things. If you're a guest this morning and you want to know, kind of, this is our anniversary, I want to kind of sum up what Grace Meadows Church is all about really in three things. I know that the church is much more than just these three things, but I think it encapsulates what we're about pretty well. Number one is incredibly missions-focused. You heard Justin say that 50% of our budget goes straight to missions, and every anniversary, the offering, 100% of it goes straight out to some missionary partner. This time is Rise Up in downtown Johnson City. It's a great, great partner where they are telling kids about Jesus, and they're going to have about 70 kids in the fall come through there every single day where relationships are being built, and they're having ongoing conversations about Jesus, and so 100% of the offering today goes straight out to them. The second thing is that Grace Meadows is a church planting church. From the very beginning, the mentality was not to become a mega church, but to raise and equip leaders to step into their gifts and ultimately to plant more churches. And then the third thing is the motto of love God, love people, and make disciples. So that pretty much sums up Grace Meadows Church. Mission-minded, church-planting church, all about the mission of love God, love people, make disciples. And make no mistake, over the last year, from year 8 to year 9, we've seen these things on display. And praise God for what he's done through the after the devastation of Hurricane Helene through this church. I mean, 10 homes were rebuilt for families in need. Incredible, incredible thing. I think, and I haven't done the math exactly, but I think at least $1 million was either given or saved through labor in that process in just the last 7 months. It's been incredible to see people step up and give towards the homes that need to be built. But not just that, but like people's business and workshops and mortgages needed and things like that. And make no mistake, when you are going through something, God wants to be there. He wants to be in the mess. And the people of Grace Meadows Church understand that and come right alongside with him. The second thing, planting churches. Revive Church. You may have noticed about 40 people or so are not here anymore. They've started a church, a Revive Church. It's been amazing to see Steve Spear step in as pastor, and so many of those people just were ready to just be about the mission and have gone out last month and have planted a church. So praise God, between year 8 and year 9, a church has been planted. And thirdly, disciples are being made. I don't know how many people have been baptized in the last year, but it's been a lot, probably over 30. And God is moving, and God is doing things. And what I want us to do here today is to just keep going. Just keep going. Do not grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Y'all, let us keep doing good. Now, that's different than just doing well, because you can do bad well, but we want to do good well. So in the 10th year, let us really focus on using our gifts so that God can continue to do good through us. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I have to offer, but if you've got legs, you can serve. If you've got breath in your lungs, you can tell people about Jesus. Every one of us has gifts that we can utilize for the glory of God, and we can see him do so much good. So, my challenge for us, keep going. Keep going. All right, I'm going to pray and we'll get in the message. Father, we thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do in our hearts, in our lives. Thank you for your grace upon grace upon grace in us. Thank you for your love that just kind of like pours out of you into our lives. And so, Father, today as we continue in this series, I pray that you would just bless it. Have your hand be all over it. Father, let it be your word spoken deeply through me. And for those kids down the kids' barn, continue this work that you've started in them. Those youth, thank you for all you're doing there. I pray for exponentially more. I pray that hearts will be open in this moment in time to receive the word that you have for us. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so we are in the third week of our Define Your Biblical Terms series. Now, the heart behind this, let me take a step back. The heart behind this was essentially, especially as we think about kids going off to college, we want them to be able to have basic understanding of fundamental concepts of the faith. I mean, we're not talking about like going deep into like an AP class sort of thing or, you know, your view of Revelation, stuff like that. But we do think that you should be able, when you're asked, to say, I know what faith is. I know what grace is. I know what repentance is. I know what love is. I know these things and how they're connected to one another. So our heart has been, let us be equipped to be able to have clarity and understanding on what these concepts are. 2 weeks ago, we talked about repentance. And last week, we talked about love. And this week, we're going to actually tackle three, all right? So gear up. All right, we're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk about faith. And we're going to talk about obedience. And that order is crucial. I can't stress that enough. Get this order wrong, grace, faith, and obedience, get that out of whack a little bit, and now some funky theologies emerge. So we got to understand, it's his love, then it's his grace, then it's faith, and then it is obedience. Let's go through Ephesians 2. 4 through 10, as Dan read for us. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. All right, let's stop there for just a second. Again, what's the motivator? What's the fuel source? It's love, right? Love is the thing that compels Jesus into grace, or God into grace, right? That's the point we have to understand. We have to keep meditating on that. I know last week was just, it was love, it was love, it was love. But our whole lives need to be about God's love, because that is the motivator. That is everything. That is why there is grace. Now, he made us alive through Jesus, and that's his grace. See, it is not obedience that can get us salvation. We have to understand that. There is no form of obedience that gets us salvation. It is his grace. He has made us alive. Now, you can do a lot of things on your own. You can brush your teeth on your own, tie your shoes on your own. You could probably have a lot of worldly success on your own. But one thing you can't do is make yourself go from death to life. That's the work of Jesus. And by the way, I'm really glad for that, because that would be really strange if you could make yourself go from death to life. We're talking about some zombie type situations here. That's not what we're talking about. God is the only one who can do that. We have to understand that fundamentally in the faith, that we were dead in our transgressions. There is no mostly dead, which is the whole difference, I think, between Christianity and every other religion. In fact, C.S. Lewis was asked this one time, and he was in this round table discussion, and they were hoping for some long, articulate response, and they asked him, they said, what's the difference between Christianity and all other religions? And he just responded with one word: grace. It's a whole difference. Every other religion, you've got to work to get to a certain point. You got to obey enough laws in order to get in good with God, but that's not the way it is in the Christian faith. It's grace. It's a gift that has been given to us that we receive first and foremost. See, Christianity is an inside-out religion. Every other religion just focuses on the outside. But Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ultimately, what he wants to do is give us a gift, and that gift be received into the depths of our being, so that out of that flow good works. It all begins with a gift. A very cheesy way to say it is, it all begins with a gift, not a grunt. You have to understand that. So important. It's a gift. God's grace is a gift. Thinking we could actually earn a position with God is like looking up at Jesus on the cross and saying, let me help you with that. It's not quite enough. In fact, Joby Martin once said, the only thing that we brought to the cross was our own sin that put Jesus there. We have to have the humility to know that we are desperate for his grace. We can't earn it. We can't do it. It is him. Jesus accomplished the mission. Jesus completed that mission. Jesus went to the cross. He made a way for us to be with him forever. Now, for the what about obedience and works people, hold on, your time's coming. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. All right, so again, catch that order. His great love for us pours out his grace on us, then through faith, obedience and works flow thereafter. See, it is the love of God that pours out the grace of God, that compels us to faith in God, that pours out obedience to God. Who's confused? Anybody? We're together? Everybody's with me? Okay, good. That's the order. It's the love of God, the essence of who he is. He pours out grace because of his love, and we put our faith in that grace, and that's what pours out obedience. We got to understand this order, otherwise we end up with some Pharisaical, legalistic theology. But may we never try to add to his grace. This is a gift. His grace is totally sufficient. The cross was totally sufficient. True obedience comes after grace and faith. See, we do things because we're saved, not to be saved. We do things from a position, not for a position. We can earn nothing, and that's why grace is so beautiful, man. Now, What is grace? Grace is God doing for us what we could not do on our own. You know what Jesus has to say about what we can do on our own? In John 15, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, look, you might be thinking, come on, Jesus, a little bit of confidence would be nice. Can't we do something on our own? But to me, this is one of the most comforting passages in all the scriptures. He's not expecting me, he's not expecting us to accomplish anything on our own. He's the one who does it, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing whenever we put our faith in his grace. We're saying, it's got to be his power, it's got to be his strength, it's got to be his authority. I can't do it. God, I'm calling on you to do it. That's why, man, it bums me out so much when I see people in the secular world go, oh, I don't need God to be a good person. And I'm just like, man, you have this strength from a holy, loving God that you're not even tapping into. And I would contend, we never can truly do good with the right motivations, with the right heart and mindset, without him, ever. Everything good flows from him. Anytime we do anything good, it is because of his power and strength in our lives. It is our faith in the reality of his grace that allows us now to receive that power to be able to do anything. So, then what is our role? Well, the first thing is faith. Now, faith is confidence. I'd love, instead of, if you can, kind of shift that word, because that word faith has gotten kind of warped a little bit. Shift it to confidence. Every time you see faith, think confidence. It's a confident conviction of the heart in him who is unseen. It is a place where ultimately our whole inner being, we hope, operates from a place of faith in him and nothing else. Ephesians 3, 16 through 21, this is a chapter ahead, says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Man. That's it right there. You see how Paul keeps going back to the love of God? He goes, you got to be rooted and established in his love. And just like we said last week, each morning we should really reflect on the cross. That God poured out his love to us with the cross. So that's the fuel source. That's the energy. That's how we really accomplish anything, is by opening ourselves up to his love first and foremost. But then he says in verse 16, he says that Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. All right, so don't miss that. It's confidence in him that begins to allow his power to be accessed by us. He says his power will dwell in those who place their confidence in him. That's our role. See, when somebody gives you a gift, you got to receive it in. That's faith. It's receiving this gift in. And let us not be confident in our own earning, our own performance, our own strength, our own desires, our own sin habits, our own need for approval, our own worry, or anything else. Let us put our total confidence in him. And that's the environment in which he dwells richly in, where he says, I want to extend my power to those who just believe. They just have confidence in me. Now, it should be stated, we talked about repentance a couple weeks ago, and repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. If you have repentance, you have faith. If you have faith, you have repentance. And so sometimes you'll see this, actually, repentance in the negative, and you'll see faith in the positive. So if Jesus is speaking to a religious person who kind of has established the way that they want to go, he'll oftentimes say, repent. And for those who really aren't established in any direction that they want to go, oftentimes he'll say, believe. The only difference here, it's the same thing, it's two sides of the same coin, but the difference here is it's an invitation of believe, and it's a redirection of repent. So repentance oftentimes has to do with the change of mind, and faith has to do with the change of heart. But these things are synonymous. It's really important for us to understand that. But faith is how Christ abides deeply in us. Faith is us saying, yes, Lord, you're everything. I could not get to you. I got no strength. I depend on your strength desperately. It's kind of the irony of the Christian faith, is that the only time we are able to do is when we recognize that we can't do. You tracking with me on that? It's like to go, I'm putting all my confidence in the fact that I need and I'm dependent on your grace. Thus, the invitation is accepted by us to receive his power in order to ever really do anything. That's what we've got to understand. Our faith goes, I can't earn anything. I can't do anything. God, I'm desperate for you. And that's where the power to do anything comes from. It is the love of God, pouring out the grace of God, and we put our faith in God. Lastly, we have obedience. Some of you are like, finally, you got to obedience. Obedience comes from faith. Obedience defined would be something like faith evidence or faith fruit. True obedience has to come from faith. That's why Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, in that passage, because you can't just obey. You have to obey from the right heart, which is a conviction, a deep conviction of confidence and faith. Critical for us to understand. That's why the older brother in the prodigal son story is, he doesn't have it right. Why? Because he's obeying because he thinks he's going to earn something. He thinks the father needs to give him something because he's obedient. That's not true obedience. Obedience flows from grace and from faith. Romans 1:5. Through him, we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his namesake. That's what we got to understand. True obedience comes from faith. That's what Paul says here. But make no mistake, obedience is crucial to the life of a believer. Genuine faith must produce works and obedience. This is not a, well, you just say the prayer and move on with your life kind of message. No, that's not evidence that was actually received, that you actually put your faith in him, if it doesn't produce good works. Because Ephesians 2 verse 9 says, we are not saved by any works, but verse 10 says, we were created in advance to do good works. So if your faith is genuine, then there will be works associated with it. And Jesus even says in John chapter 8, he says, whoever obeys his teaching, that person does not taste death. But here's the thing, we have to understand this. This is crucial. So if you've tuned me out, come back in at this point, all right? He's not saying obedience alone gets you in good with him. He's just saying without obedience, you can't say that you've ever placed your faith in him. There has to be evidence. And we know this because the same writer, John, who wrote this, he also wrote in 1 John 2:3, he says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. See, that's not works-based. That is evidence-based. If you believed in your core convictions that working out was good for you, if you believe that like in the depths of you, there would be evidence of that. My girls love dolls. And there is a lot of evidence of that all over the house. Sometimes I step on the evidence. The point here is, if it's genuine, there will be obedience. It will flow out. The fact that you have faith will bring evidence. And by the way, I've said this probably three times, but we got to say it again. It has to be this order. It's the love of God. It's the grace of God. It's faith in God that produces the works of God. Guys, he doesn't just want our white-knuckled, begrudging submissiveness to just do what he wants us to do. He wants that to come from a place of deep confidence in him. To say, yes, God, I believe that your way is the best. I believe that in this moment in time where I know I could probably get ahead if I lied here, I actually truly believe, my confidence is still in you, that your way is best. Now that's faith, when there's real cost there. You know, if I cheat on the test, I'll do a little bit better, but my confidence is in God and His ways. That's faith. That's faith producing evidence of obedience. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, that those who put their faith in Him, He will do exponentially more than we could ever ask or imagine. Because what we're doing when we place our faith in Him is we're saying, God, I need Your power, Your authority in my life. And I just got to say, so many people walk around talking about obedience, and fair enough, because there needs to be obedience. But that obedience has to come from faith, and that faith has to come from grace, and the grace comes from the love of God. It all comes back to the love of God. Now, side note, there's a lot of talk between the possible dispute between James and Paul here on faith and works, but, and in fact, Martin Luther, at one point, I think he ended up repenting of this, somebody tell me after service, but I think he said James should be pulled out of the Bible altogether because there was this discrepancy he felt like, but really there isn't, because Romans 3:28 says that apart from the law, we're saved through faith. And then in the book of James, chapter 2, James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. There's not a contradiction there. It is, we're saved totally by grace through faith, and that faith produces works. And I can show you that I have faith by my works. It really is just that simple. That if we really do have confidence in our bones, in the person of Jesus, there will be evidence of that in our lives. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come on back up. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are, this is one of my favorite passages. Peter and John are proclaiming the good news of the resurrected Jesus to anybody who wants to hear it, because they're like, this dude Jesus, he called his shot, he taught these things, he says he's going to give up his life and then he'll be raised again, and then he gave up his life, and then a couple days later, he was no longer dead, and our allegiance has changed completely. You know, before it was self-preservation, at the end of the day, they really put their confidence in needing to survive and needing to preserve themselves. But after they see the resurrected Jesus, they go, oh, no, our faith has taken new heights. And kill us if you want to, but the reality is we are going to talk about Jesus. Let's read Acts 4, 16 through 19, through 20. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Now, they're at the same point that they were before Jesus went to the cross. And we know, at that point, everybody withdrew. Verse 18. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to Him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now catch that difference between won't and can't. Won't is, I'm making a decision here. Can't is, I have a conviction that compels me here. And just like in the book of Daniel, when there's a law that says, hey, no more praying, what's the first thing Daniel does? Praise. Or the three men in the fire, bow down to us or else. And they go, we don't know what's going to happen here, but the reality is we're just not bowing to you. Why? They're compelled by faith. And that's the difference here between can't and won't. Have you ever in your life had so much faith, so much confidence in Him that you're just compelled? It just like overflows out of you. That's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians 2. He's talking about a works that flows out of our confidence in Him. And I don't know how you come in this morning, but all this week I've been reflecting on my story in 2016 of going, laying on my face and saying, God, please end it. Desperate for Him. And in that humble state, He met me right there. And I knew I could not earn a thing from Him. My way did not get it done, but He met me there. And He will meet you in that space too. All you got to do is put your confidence in the reality of His grace and that we couldn't earn it. And now today, I hope it's true that there's a faith that comes out of me that goes, the dude who picked me up off my face, I'm not going to abandon that guy. Now I put my faith there. I'm not putting my faith in my own earning. I'm not putting my faith in what I can do. I'm not putting my faith in sin habit or desire or whatever else. I'm putting my faith there. In the dude who got up out of the grave, that's where I'm putting my faith. So I don't know how you come in. Put your faith, put your confidence, all your confidence in Him, and He will meet you in that space. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reality of Your grace. Thank You that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You that the cross is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. There's nothing we could do to earn a position with You. It has been freely given. All we need to do is just place our faith in that reality. It's by grace, through faith, that we're saved. So, Father, create in us a church of deep faith. That we open ourselves up to You, and like in our deepest convictions, we go, God, I just want things Your way, man. I just want things Your way. I put my confidence in You. I just stand in awe and wonder at Your name. So Father, I pray that will be a reality here in this place. We love You so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.